Derek's happy today. Grandbaby's with him.
You got that right. I think Jesus got a big smile.
All right, guys. Last time we was here, I done a thing on a, started living by God's promises, and today I'm gonna finish up. Let me start off by reading the verses that we use. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. God always keeps his word. God is a promise keeper. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God faithfully keeps his promises. I love the fact that God is faithful, even when I'm not. And the verse that I kind of hung our hat on for this particular series is this. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So I asked you a couple of weeks ago, do you have mountains in your life? And if you'll remember, I asked you to identify those, to write them down. And I hope that you did. And I told you that the first step into moving mountains, I told you there were two steps, and we only talked about one. It was you got to think big. You got to think big if you want God to move some mountains in your life. And I'm not going to repeat that sermon and or lessons, whatever you call that I do. You can get a free CD out there. You can go to a phone app called Stitcher, and you can listen to it there. I listened to Drew's this week on Stitcher. Or you can go to our website and listen to it there. But we said there were two things to move a mountain. Think big, and we'll jump right into this. Number two, you have to start small. If you want to move a mountain, got to think big, but the next thing you do, you got to start small. We talked about if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that God can move the mountain. Jesus' example of faith as a mustard seed goes against the issues lots of times that we have about faith. You know, if you're new to the faith, if you're rediscovering faith, you really need to understand this issue of faith as small as a mustard seed. You know, because lots of times I hear people saying it, and have even people told me, if you only have enough faith. Y'all ever heard that? If you just have enough faith, God could do this through your life or my life. And then I hear folks say, well, those folks must have a lot of faith or enough faith. They'll say enough faith because God is doing some great things in their life. Well, it's not a matter of having enough faith that Jesus said. He said if you can just get a small mustard seed of faith, that God can work with that. It's not about having enough faith. You see, it's not a matter of how big your faith is. It's a matter of how big God is. That's what the matter is. It's a matter of how big he is. Because a little bit of faith and a great big God is more than enough. It's more than enough. And God can move the mountains into the sea if he wanted to. He created both. So he can certainly do that. You know, our faith, I got to tell you this, because when we start to think like I just talked about, our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is not in rituals. Our faith is not in things that we do. That's the enough problem. You know, that's what that is. Our faith is in God and who he is and what he is able to accomplish. And that's more than enough. Our faith is in God. You know, so we don't want to focus on how big the mountain is to move that mountain. We want to focus on how big God is. Jesus said, get your eyes off the mountain and get your eyes on this mustard seed. This mustard seed. And having this little bit of faith, because that's how God is going to work. That's how God's going to grow you and me. That's how God's going to change you and me. You know, the mustard seed is was actually just a little bitty seed, and it kind of grows into a bush, and it can grow into a big old tree. I mean, dense, that a tree that's over our heads, you know, and this little bit of faith that we're talking about can grow to a huge mountain-moving thing in your life that you have, this little bit of faith. So how can we plant mustard seeds of faith? I think we got to do four things. We're going to fill in these blanks today. We got to do four things in order to live this life of faith. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't do these four things, you're not going to live this life of faith. So it's pretty serious. I want you to write them down. You're not going to be able to do what Jesus talked about here. You know, how do you have a little faith? Number one, we're going to get right into it. Number one, you got to listen to God. That's G-O-T-T-A. You got to listen to God. You know, how in the world are you and me going to live a life by God's promises unless we listen to God's promises? You have to listen to God, listen for his promises, and the Bible is where you will find his promises. I've called the Bible many times a love letter, but it's also a promissory note. It's filled with over 7,000 promises. You know, you got to read them and let them sink into your life. As your pastor, I want to urge you to get a translation that you like and that you can really read and enjoy reading. I read the ESV, but if you're new to faith and or just come, you don't even have a Bible. You may not even have a Bible, but you probably have a smartphone. Go to I think it's called YouVersion, and they've got a list of the different translations. Kind of go down through there and look and find one that you like. I would urge you to start with the New Living Translation. Got a new life, might as well start with the New Living Translation. And kind of go down through there and see which one that you like best. And this is what, then I would encourage you, just read three or four verses a day and kind of think about them and let those promises start to sink in your life. That means to listen. And the Bible says there's a particular way that we need to listen. Psalm 85:8 says, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying. I want you to underline something. Carefully. Carefully. That's how we're supposed to listen. In order to build on God's promises, we gotta know God's promises. In order to know God's promises, the Bible says we have to listen carefully, right? Carefully. Now, I'm just gonna tell you, it's a struggle for me to listen carefully sometimes. I know sometimes I don't always listen carefully to my wife. She has told me sometimes, I know, before to put the clothes in the dryer. I said, I got it. After she's gone for 5 minutes, I'm thinking she said make a pie. Or put the cake in the oven. Well, I end up putting the pie in the dryer. I could pretend I heard and do what I think she said. Or I could call her and say, Angie, I really wasn't listening carefully. But if you'll tell me what you want me to do, please repeat it. And after she repeats it, but then a little something goes on before the repeat. I'm trying to think of what a good word for scold comes to my mind. But anyway, what I usually do is I write it down. Because then I'm intentional. You know what I was doing? I was listening carefully. I wrote it down. And I say that to say this. When I really want to listen carefully, when I'm reading the Bible, I write it down. I write it in the margins in my Bible. And some of you say, well, I just can't write in the Bible. Get you a notepad. Get you a notepad. Keep a journal. Just write beside it. because that tells God I intend to do something about it. I intend to do something about this. You're going to write it down. So you ought to, you know, I love it when you take notes here. I don't even mind if you leave them sometimes, because then I notice you've taken notes. It just touches me when I see that you wrote it down. Because what you're doing is, when you're being intentional about this, you're planting these mustard seeds of faith. It's when you intentionally listen carefully. The second thing is this. You gotta tell God what you need. You gotta tell God what you need, you know, on a regular basis, if you want to live this life based on God's promises. I mean, I've heard all the arguments. God knows what you need, you know, but He wants you to tell Him what you need, because it's a relationship of faith. It's a relationship that we have with Him. So tell Him what you need. A personal relationship with God is when we talk to Him about those needs, and He meets those needs. Amen? So we got to talk to Him. And when He starts to meet those needs, you're going to see some amazing things in your life. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. And when you do that, God will heal all the anxieties in your life. Some of you need to hold on to that verse right there. Put it on your refrigerator. Because who doesn't struggle with worry? You know, I talk to you all the time and tell you not to worry, but I mean, everybody worries. I talked to someone this week who's a strong man of faith, and he's worried about something. And I said, you know, it's easy for me to tell you not to worry, but everybody struggles with worry a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. Worries can pile up, can't they? Worries can just pile up. But this verse tells me that your prayers can also pile up. You know, when your worries pile up, you get overwhelmed by life, don't you? I mean, it's overwhelming. But when your prayers pile up, you get overwhelmed by God's love. When your prayers pile up, you get overwhelmed by God's grace. When your prayers pile up, you get overwhelmed by His goodness and His ability to meet your needs in the daily struggles of life. When your prayers pile up, tell God what you need. Prayer is the number one tool for moving a mountain. You heard Jeff, that's what we're talking about Tuesday. Prayer is the number one tool for moving a mountain. You cannot move a mountain without prayer. Period. James 4 says this, you do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. If you don't take the time to tell God about it, because there is a relationship, and in faith, tell God what you need, He will meet your need. Circle those words, have and want. I want to tell you something about this. I want to give you a guarantee this morning about haves and wants. I guarantee you this. You talk to God about your have. What, if I even read it, yeah, just, I'm going to read it again. Yes, you do not have what you want because you do not ask God for. If you talk about this to God, I guarantee you He will either change what you have or He will change what you want. He will do one or the other. He will change what you have or He will change what you want. He will meet your needs, and it might be to change what you have. He's just waiting on you to ask. Let me give you an example. Say you wanna marry this girl, or you think you wanna marry this guy, and the more you talk to God about it, you realize this would be a disaster if I married this woman. This would be just crazy if I married this guy. Woo! He has changed what you want. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, sometimes you and I ought to be more grateful that He changes what we want than what we have. I mean, can you imagine? Put yourself in one of these girls or guys' position. Can you imagine walking up to someone you've been dating for years and saying, you know, I mean, somebody you thought was the love of your life, and you just say, you're not what I want anymore. But it would be the truth. If God has changed your wants, it would be the truth. I used to think I wanted the most popular. I used to think I wanted the most prettiest, the best dressed, and the sharpest. But God has changed my wants. I want a man like him. I want a man that I don't care about what he dresses like. I want a man that puts God first and me second. I want a man that will protect and provide for me. I want a man that will work for me and my family. I know you could throw a touchdown, but you're not the one. You're not the one. God has changed my wants. He has changed my wants. I'm going to tell you something. When we bring our issues to God, He can keep us out of a lot of problems. He can keep us out of a lot of difficulties on down the road. If we listen to Him or just honest about it. When you talk to God about this, then it becomes a relationship. He works with you and what you have and what you want. Amen? What you have and what you want. And as you tell Him, do it with the expectation that He will meet those needs. Expect it. I love this verse. This is why I tell you can expect it. But I keep right on praying to you, Lord, for now is the time. And I love this. He said, you are bending down to hear. You are ready with a plentiful supply of love and kindness. Now answer my prayer and rescue me as you promised. Tell God what you need and then listen to God. Listen to God. Not your heart. Remember, the heart is deceitful above all things. Listen to God. Number three, in order to move mountains, this is a necessary one. Forgive those who hurt you. Forgive those who hurt you. Forgive those who hurt you. Jesus talked to His disciples three times about moving mountains, and two of those three times He talked about forgiveness. And when He talked about mountains being moved, He done it in Luke. He talked about forgiveness in response to their questions about moving mountains. And in Mark, He said that prayer about moving mountains won't be heard if there is any unforgiveness. You can ask God all you want to about moving some mountains in your life, and there's unforgiveness in your life, them mountains ain't going nowhere. Amen? Unforgiveness. So I want to tell you something. Write this down right here. I got two things I want you to write down. Just change my life. Unforgiveness will keep mountains in their places. Unforgiveness will keep mountains in their places. Then let me tell you something about faith. Faith moves mountains. Unforgiveness makes mountains. Faith moves mountains. Unforgiveness makes mountains. Unforgiveness makes barriers. You know, between you and other people. It makes barriers around dreams. I'm telling you to forgive people that have hurt you. It is poison. Where do you find that power? Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The power to forgive comes from being forgiven. Amen? The power to forgive comes from being forgiven. If I'm struggling to forgive, and I'm going to tell you something, I do. I am not perfect. I told you before, I'm close. But I am not perfect. And sometimes I struggle to forgive. But then I've trained myself to start thinking about how God has forgiven me. Amen. And it's a lot easier for me to give. You know what that is? That's power. That's power. And if I can't forgive somebody, I've given them power over me. I want the power back. So I'm going to get the power through Christ who has forgiven me. Then I can forgive you no matter what you've done to me. And when we talk about forgiveness, we tend to think our minds go in the past. Somebody hurt us years ago when we was little. You know, and I know some of you guys are thinking about that now. But I'm talking about even forgiveness with people just recently, your family. Somebody might have said something that hurts. Or your coworkers. You don't even want to go to work. You want to quit. Well, you can be happy at another place. They done made me mad up there. I can't forgive them. Don't even want to go to work on Monday. Well, right now, I can tell you it ain't their problem, it's your problem. Because there's unforgiveness right there. So I'm talking about a daily thing. You got to forgive them. Because the people that are close to you say things that hurt you, do things that hurt you. We mess up. We're all human beings. So you got to forgive them. Amen? You know, any family has to constantly forgive each other. Co-workers have to forgive each other. They have to constantly forgive, whether it's 10 years ago or 10 minutes. You want to move some mountains, you better forgive. And some of you say, and I know I'm speaking out of me right now. You say, well, I'm just going to hold on to this bitterness, you know, for a little while. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You make a conscious decision, I'm going to hold on to it for a little while, because there's an advantage to this. Let me tell you, because as long as you hold on to it, you got this record of wrongdoing, and they owe you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So you feel like you ought to hold on to it a little bit. That's a good position to be in, right, when somebody owes you? No. That ain't biblical to have people owe you. No. You know, Scripture says when you and I do this, instead of planting seeds of faith, we're planting seeds of doubt. When we hold on to bitterness, we're planting seeds of fear. We ain't planting seeds of faith. 1 Corinthians 13:5, where am I at? That's at the bottom. Love keeps no record or wrongs. Guys, we ain't perfect, but we can get better. James says, be quick to forgive. And the more quickly you forgive, the more powerful you plant seeds of faith in your life, and your faith grows. You ain't growing when you're unforgiving. You just sitting there stale. Number four. I thank God. Thank God. Thank God for who He is. Thank God for who you are. Now, I struggled with that one for a long time. I just couldn't think. I had all these flaws. You know, I said, man, God, why'd you do that to me? Why did I do that? Why ain't I got no hair right there? You know, but, you know, just all kind of stuff. Then the closer I got to Him, I'm unique. I'm created in His image. I'm different. But now I can thank God. Thank you, God, for making me who I am. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. And guys, this is powerful for building faith. Because then you get the focus off the mountains. You get the focus off the problems in your life. And you get the focus on Him. In the middle of having the worst week possible that you've ever had, when you start to thank God for who He is, who you are, how He's working in your life, how He will not fail you in the middle of it, I'm telling you to find something. I don't care what kind of week you've had, you can find something to thank Him for. To thank Him for. I'm talking about an attitude of gratitude. And when you do that, your faith will grow. Thank Him for who He is, what He's done. Let me tell you something. God's a loving Father. He is a faithful Father. And we can thank Him for giving us the power to carry us through. Look at the next verse, Psalm 118. I love this. Just, you'll write this down. If you're somewhere where you just can't feel thankful right now, you are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will praise your goodness. You are my God. Romans 11:33 says, oh, what a wonderful God we have. How great are His wisdom and knowledge and riches. There's power in gratitude. I feel powerful just reading it. Y'all don't want to mess with me today. I feel powerful. I feel free. When I read that, I feel freedom. Ooh. When you decide to be grateful, you're planting seeds of faith every day. And the hardest time to be grateful are the hardest days of your life. But when you can do this, you're moving mountains. You're moving mountains with mustard seed faith. God wants to move mountains in your life. Remember, think big and start small with steps of faith. I want to give you one last verse because this is where the power is, and the power has to start here. If you're going to build your life on God's promises, then this here's one thing you can't miss. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Not in some secret prayer, not in some handshake or religious ritual. It's in a relationship. If you're going to build a life based on God's promises, you cannot do it without first beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the yes in Christ. It has to start with Jesus Christ. Young man here 2 Sundays ago. Now he can base his life on God's promises because he stepped from there to here and gave his life to Christ. It has to start with a yes in Christ. It cannot happen. I want you to know this. It cannot happen without Jesus. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on principle. It has to start with Jesus. It's going to take more than just effort to move mountains. It has to start with Jesus, a relationship. So I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to beg you. Jesus is already working. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, I urge you to say yes to Jesus. Now, as Tate and them come, I want you to think about that. It's your decision. Will you start a relationship with Jesus today? And if you say, I'll wait till later, that's still a no. If you say no, it's a no. There's no gray area here. No answer is an answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a good life it is to be with you, to live by your promises. Lord, I look back and I see how you've changed my wants and haves. I didn't know some of them were coming. Some of my wants, when they changed, they shocked everybody. Some of my haves, when they change, shock me. But you've been proven right for everyone involved. And so, Lord, for that person that's here today that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they'll make that decision today. So, Lord, I pray that everyone's hearts are turned to you right now. Not on getting out of here, not on getting out of here before the crowd beats, not on who goes to the altar, just singing to you, the heart turned to you, and focusing on you because they got a mountain to move. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.